kicking yourself for not walking out when you could. Be a judgment. But don't you worry, son. It will all be over soon.
Anton, give me a boy's name that starts with the letter H. Jose.
How do you go about pronouncing it? Ian. Ian. Pretty straightforward. Occasionally, you may hear it pronounced as Joel. It depends.
It's called Rex Quando.
Look at me now. How far we go back? Elementary? Jump rope? High and go see? Pity pat? Red light, green light? Red light, green light?
Hello? You play to win the game.
You are tuned in to Straight Bet Sports on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network.
Time to have some fun again. Wednesday night, just past 9 p.m. You already know what it is. I'm your host, Jose V. You're tuned in to Straight Bet Sports live here on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network. We're coming to you live from downtown Las Vegas, Nevada. No other place we'd rather be than here. Grateful to call it home. Grateful to be here. It's a cold night, but we're staying warm. Got my co-host in the building tonight, as I do every single Wednesday night. The homie Bradford.
How's it going?
Ian B, but we're going to try to stick to Bradford. Now we've been saying that for a while. Got to give big up to Quan, man. I asked for the intro, and he came through in the clutch. That was an amazing intro. Great countdown. I greatly appreciate you, Quan. You had me going to start the show. Good stuff tonight, man. We got a fun show on tap for you guys. We got a return guest, so lots to talk about, especially with stuff going on here in Las Vegas. We want to know what's going on with the Vegas Nighthawks, as we're going to have Mike Davis, good friend of the show now, good friend of ours, and the newest face in Las Vegas. So get to know him, people. We're hoping for some wins. We're hoping for a lot of excitement. We're going to have him on the show here shortly. We're going to talk all things sports, all things Vegas Nighthawks as well. Lots to talk about in the world of sports, breaking news as well. MLB is basically imminent. 7-minute talk ends. They're basically going into a lockout now, so we're going to get into that here shortly. We got someone else in the building that I got to give a big shout out to. Evan Guerra. Hope I got that correctly. The homie taking some pictures and some video in here. He's begin to a couple events here shortly with us. He's already taking a lot of pictures. Great stuff at the Duke Gonzaga game, man. I'm going to be posting a lot more of that. If not, check him out. Drumline AV? There we go. Drumline AV on YouTube. The guy's got 88,000 subscribers, and he's got a video that hit 32 million views, if I do not have that mistaken. So go ahead and check him out. He's going to be working with us. So lots of good stuff coming there. But Ian, I know you're excited about tonight. You lost last week because you went against me, and I took the Niners, and you took the Vikings.
We still have a winning record, though. So.
Quan, the Niners came through, baby. I'm not a Niners fan, though, but they came through. But we're going to get into our picks of the week as well. Glad that you're back. How was your holiday weekend? How was your Thanksgiving? Because you weren't here last week.
It is great. Just had a blast. We had dishes and dishes and dishes. I was able to, I unfortunately had to work, but I was able to go to the in-laws and as well as my parents and have food. So good turkey, some ham, you know.
Cool. So with that being said, I hope you guys all had a great holiday with your Thanksgiving, with your families, safe. Hopefully no one got in trouble. There was no fires from what I heard, according to the fire departments out here in Vegas. Yeah. So that's pretty like good first, to hear. Yeah. Definitely good to hear. But I'm excited, man. I'm happy. I'm glad that we're having this show tonight.
Lots to talk about.
It's going to be more of a normal show, not really of an interview. So I like that because we got the interview process out of the way the first time around. But before we get to our guests, we got to let everyone know who's bringing us every single week. This is our fourth season now, starting tonight. So we greatly appreciate our main sponsor that's been riding with us since day one. You already know who he is. We'll put him up on the screen here now. We are brought to you by Joshua LaFon with Simply Vegas Real Estate, a realtor here to help educate current and future Las Vegas locals on selling and investing in real estate. You're probably asking yourself, educate. Yes, there's a surprising amount of adults that when it comes to real estate, don't know the right questions to ask, don't know where to start, and think they need a lot of cash to buy a house in Nevada, which simply isn't true. So Josh has decided to make it his responsibility to teach his clients what they need to know, and equally important, what they need to ask to help ensure making their home ownership dreams a true reality. So make sure you call or text Joshua LaFon today at 702-813-0533. This has been another paid advertisement from Joshua LaFon with Simply Vegas Real Estate. Make sure you give him a call, 702-813-0533. That's right. Josh LaFon hooking us up, man. We greatly appreciate his sponsorship and what he does. Couple of notes here on the games tonight. Michigan goes down once again to North Carolina on the road. Big loss there in the association. Boston takes out Philly. Philly's woes continue. Sosa, I know you're a Sixers fan, my guy, but they're not looking too well. Houston gets the win against OKC. Dallas, big win over New Orleans. Milwaukee gets the 2-point lead over Charlotte. That was a great game to watch. If you guys did not watch it, I highly recommend that you play it back. It's always exciting when it comes down to the end like it did. But a lot of stuff going on there. But without further ado, let's go ahead and jump right into it with our guest of the night. Good friend of ours, good friend of the show now, Mike Davis, head coach of the Vegas Nighthawks. Mike, what's good, my man? How you doing?
Just trying to make it.
Just trying to make it?
Enjoying the warm weather.
Enjoying the warm weather?
You guys call it cold.
Hey, it's like 10 degrees warmer than it normally is, though. It's usually already in the 50s.
I'll take it. It's like 4 below in Canada right now.
Oh, okay.
But Mike, do me a favor. You see the camera? Because I know we're going to tell you to move a little bit. There we go. And pull the mic up to you.
I can't be a pro yet.
This isn't reveal night, all right? You can relax. You can be comfortable. You can enjoy yourself tonight. But no, man, thank you for coming back on the show. Thanks for coming in and chopping it up with us tonight. We got some things we want to talk to you, obviously, about, you know, current signings that you guys got. Some of the players have came in that you brought in. We want to know what the roster's looking like. You know, the football season's right around the corner. I believe you guys are starting up, what, in February, right?
March 1st.
March 1st, okay. So talk about some of the signings. I asked you about Jalen earlier, one of the quarterbacks that you guys did sign here. You said there might be some competition there. What have you seen from the tryouts, and were the tryouts as good as you expected?
Yeah, you know, first of all, the tryouts were great. We had like 73 kids show up. I think we had 24 guys run between 4.40 and 4.51. A lot of speed and some athletes, just a lot of guys we have already signed. Some guys, I think we signed 4 guys from the tryout. So that, you know, that's kind of unheard of. We had guys flying from New York and Memphis and Florida and Texas and Chicago, Seattle. I mean, we had guys from all over. So it's nice that the word got out and the talent was there. We only have so many roster spots, though, unfortunately. So we're going to take the best 4 that we think is that can compete and help us try to win a championship in this first year and kind of go from there.
So is it harder for you being the GM as well? I mean, because you're not just the head coach, you know what I mean? You're running things, right? You basically make the signings at the end of the day. It's what you decide.
Yeah, I mean, as the head coach, you make the decisions anyway. I always relate it back to, you know, you want me to cook dinner, let me buy the groceries. Yeah. So for me, it's, you know, you're still deciding who you want to be on the roster and how do they fit with the guys that you already have. And for me, it's the fun part of the job. You know, it's kind of like, you know, I don't have any kids, but, you know, kind of watching your kids grow up. You kind of mold them together, you know, watching them walk. Now, let's see how they grow up and are they going to be what you hope they're going to be? So that's the exciting part for us.
So I asked you about Jalen Henderson before the show, MVP of the Mountain West Championship game back in 2019. Do you see a future with him being your starting guy, or is there going to be a competition going into the actual training camp?
Every position is a competition.
Okay.
You know, thing about Jalen is, when I was in Toronto, we had him on our negotiation list. Okay. So I kind of got to know him a little bit then. You know, kid went to UTSA, grad transferred to Boise, actually backed up Rippin. Rippin got hurt. Okay. He went 4-0 and it was the MVP of the bowl game. Dual threat kid, big arm. So it's just, you know, the indoor game is unique because the game is so fast. You know, the competition between him and Dalton Sneed, which a lot of people know because he went to UNLV and then transferred to Montana. And then Jorge Reyna was in 19 was the starting quarterback for Fresno State.
Okay.
So you know, those 3 guys, we feel comfortable leading this team and where we're gonna go. And for us, you know, we still have a few pieces together to put up front, but our receiving core should be very good. And we'll just, you know, hopefully they gel together and put some points up and turns into W's.
Some of the other players that I'm seeing here obviously played in the Canadian League. Your Canadian roots from when you coached out there, was that a point of emphasis for you to go after some of these guys that you either coached with or against that you already knew of coming from the Canadian League?
No, so basically what I did is I reached out to some connections I had up there and I was like, hey, listen, because last year they didn't have any preseason games in Canada. So it was very hard for rookies to make the team. Well, Cedric Wilcox is, I think he had 27 sacks at New Mexico State.
Wow.
Winnipeg's probably got one of the top two best D linemen in the Canadian Football League.
So 19 and a half sacks.
Yeah. So without a guy you know, to get preseason games, it's tough as a rookie. You know, him, Ardarius Stewart is a third-round draft pick from Alabama, went to the Jets. He was in camp with Winnipeg as well. So their coach called me and was like, hey, these are two guys we'd love to get a look at. So that's just kind of how it started. And then, you know, I've reached out to other guys, and other guys have recommended guys, and most of them I know. So that's a plus for us. And it's all about getting film these days. You can't be stagnant, and you can't be that guy that says, oh, I'm just going to work out. People want to see recent film, and because when you don't, you lose the competition and the quick twitch, and it's just tough.
You kept around someone that is a hometown person, per se, basically. Played here at UNLV, Gabe McCoy. What was it about Gabe that you decided was good enough to keep him here and make him a part of this organization?
So Gabe played for the Iowa Barnstormers last year. I knew who he was. Okay. We had talked. Knew he was coming to the tryout. Said, hey, you come up and do what you're supposed to do, testing-wise and running-wise and covering ability, and it's a no-brainer. And he was everything that you could imagine. You know, came in 6'3", 227, ran well, broaded well, covered well. And for me to have guys who live here, that's what it's about. I think right now we have, after tonight, I think we're at 7 local guys.
Okay.
So, you know, you have Gabe McCoy from UNLV. You have CJ Jones, a DB, went to Henderson State. You have Caleb Holly, went to Southeast Oklahoma. He's actually born and raised in Anchorage, Alaska.
Really?
Yeah, I actually saw him in the indoor game. I went to Canada. He was the first guy I signed up. Probably one of the best route runners not playing up north right now.
You talking about signed up for this team?
Yeah, okay. I got him signed in Canada first.
Okay.
He played 3 years up there. Because of the COVID year, he's a vet. He didn't get signed back this year. He's here training. Him, you know, I'm just signing another guy here, locally kid from Casey Allison, that went to Dixie State, another big receiver.
Was there any players that surprised you at the tryouts that you didn't, like you saw them and you didn't think that they were going to cut it, but they came out and exceeded expectations?
Yeah, there's a kid, Jamal Claiborne, small school kid. I knew about him, had his film. I was like, hey, listen, I need to see more than what you're showing me. He showed up. He was probably 12 pounds lighter than what he was on his film, a lot quicker. Our D-line coach, you know, Coach Roll, loved him. And so for me, that's where the game starts, is up front. Gotcha. If you can get some guys up front that they can rush the passer and protect your quarterback, you're in for you're ahead of the curve. Let's just put it that way.
You mentioned a championship. Is that what your expectations for this season are?
I mean, I would be lying if I said I wouldn't go in not, you know, who wants to go and say, oh, let's be 500. No, you know, the difference is there's never been a team, expansion team, first year, make the playoffs in year one. So that's goal number one. Gotcha. You know, it's a three-step process. You know, you get into the playoffs, and then you get a clean slate, and it comes down to who's confident and who gets hot at that point. Obviously, yes, we want to win a championship, and we're building the roster to win a championship, but it's very difficult year one, and I'm not shy about saying that.
So you and I got to sit down and watch some college football a while back, and I asked you, I'm like, why Vegas, and is this it? Is this the end-all, be-all? And you said, this is my final stop. This is where I want to end it all and finish my career. But that being said, you got to bring a championship to Vegas, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, absolutely. You know, that's, again, that's the end goal. You know, my goal is I want to be the first team to bring the championship to Vegas, if possible. That's a tall task to ask, especially with the Knights and, you know, the Golden Knights and the Silver Knights and stuff like that, especially as good as they have been and as good as they are. But being in the same family, it would be satisfying for me to be like, yep, I was the first one to achieve it.
Silver Knights don't get it. Golden Knights don't get it. You'd be the first one.
Absolutely.
Nothing wrong with that, right?
Yeah.
Once again, you're tuning to Straight Bet Sports live here on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network. Jose V, Ian B, Quan 5'9", hanging out with Vegas Nighthawks head coach Mike Davis here in the studio. So is your roster solidified, though? Like, are you guys done? Or are you still signing people as we speak? Because I keep getting emails different parts of the week, and it's not a full roster when we get that.
No, we're not. We have about 10 spots left.
Okay.
So I'm just kind of waiting. You know, now it's, excuse me, I like where our roster's at. So now can I make it better?
Gotcha. Gotcha.
You know, we can bring 40 guys in the camp. We only keep 25. So if I had to go in right now with 30, I would be happy. I mean, we can make it work and be competitive. But now it's okay. Let's work on these guys that are dragging their feet that you really, really, really want. Your A-listers, as I call them.
Yeah.
And I have a bunch of A-listers that were on our list already. But, you know, there's a couple guys out there. There's a couple local guys out there that I won't mention their names. But, you know, they'll end up sliding back in my lap and it will be – and those will – that's when we'll be tough.
Is there any position that's solidified that you feel as you have your starters – and then you have your second or third strings, or is it everything's an open competition at this point?
Everything's open competition. Like, okay. We won't sign any more quarterbacks because we have three. There's just not enough reps to get around. Probably won't sign any more running backs. But besides that, you know, with Dominic Davis, kid from USC, Trey Frederick, small school kid, Travion Samuels that played at Louisville and Memphis, okay, that was a dual threat guy, receiver, running back. I'm pretty content with those three. Gotcha. And the three quarterbacks. Besides everything else, I'm always looking.
So with the type of league that it is, and I know this kind of sounds like a fantasy football reference, mm-hmm, are you looking for more flex guys, if that makes sense?
No, not at all. You know, because we don't play both ways. Okay. Obviously, you would play another position if you had some injuries, but you would have to have, you know, three-plus injuries in a game. And so obviously, you know guys that can play multiple positions, but no, you're position specific.
So you don't do anything like the Niners have been doing with Deebo Samuel, where you try to, I'm just throwing it out there, like where you're using a receiver more as a running back or vice versa.
We do that. You know, like Travion Samuel, Dominic Davis, both of those guys have done that in college. Like Dominic Davis went to USC as a receiver. Then they had a breakdown in the secondary, so we played DB. Then they brought him back and they needed him to play running back, so they moved him to running back.
Gotcha.
So that kid has been all over the field playing multiple positions and picked it up easily.
Speaking of that, with Deebo Samuel, Cordell Patterson in the NFL switching positions late in their career, I mean, Deebo's not
a running back.
Yeah,
per
he's
se,
not
going to
be a running
more,
back
yeah.
for forever, but they're using him as that for now. Do you think that's going to open up the idea for like college athletes as well as IFL athletes to maybe be a little bit more flexible on their position?
No, I think everybody goes into. Everybody was a multi-sport athlete in high school. Everybody. And then you get to college and then you're recruiting so many guys, you're position specific. Now, everybody knows, hey, you know what? He was a running back and a linebacker in high school. So if you had an injury, you could flip him. Or like Deebo is a special, unique person, you know, with his build and his attributes and things like
He's
that.
He's a freak, man.
Yeah, good. So you take a kid like that's great in the receiving game and he's tough enough to put him in the running back and make matchup problems. Because if you watch every time he's in the game, they figure out a way to get him matched up on a linebacker or a safety. And it's a instant mismatch.
Absolutely.
And so for that guy, Shanahan does a great job of
very hard to tackle guys.
Yeah.
So, it just especially once he gets into the open field. So it makes sense. It's just, it's very rare. We actually see NFL players completely either switching their position midway through a season or for a season. So I just thought it was curious.
It was great for Cordell Patterson. I mean, at least right now, think about it. The guy went from just being a kick returner with the Minnesota Vikings, not really being used as a receiver, to now being a dual threat because Atlanta doesn't use him much on the receiving side of the ball. But when they want to, they can put him out there to catch a ball, which is crazy.
But look what that's done to his contracts.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pushed him into the $5-6 million range.
Yeah.
So when you can play multiple positions and be successful at it,
it's
added value for a team. And now I got one guy that can do two things. Okay, I can pay him a little more instead of paying two guys average salaries. You're still coming out ahead.
I'd say he also added probably about 3-4 years onto his career because of that. Because now, whether it be returner or running back or receiver, there's now multiple options that there's enough film on that you say, hey, that works.
Yeah, I think running backs in this day and age, you have a short shelf life.
Well, yeah.
And now everybody's going to the two-back system.
Yep.
You don't see the Adrian Petersons of the world.
Workhorse.
The workhorse back that's going to get 30 touches a game. Like Derrick Henry, you do, but they still have a swing guy. So for us, for teams, not for us, but for teams, it's just what gives you more roster flexibility and how do you set it up to be successful and still have the roster flexibility?
Once again, you're tuning to Straight Bet Sports live here on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network. We are chopping it up with Nighthawks head coach Mike Davis here in studio. Jose V, Ian B, live here on Gorilla Cross Radio Network. So when it comes to the picks, though, actually signing your players, the people that you're doing in training camp and that you're looking at and all that, is it between you and your coaches? Are you guys sitting there going back and forth within, well, no, I like this guy, I don't like this guy? Are there times where maybe one of your coaches likes someone more, or is it just your decision no matter what who's getting signed?
No. I send guys out to my coaches because okay. I want them to be like, hey, listen, can we fix this guy? Can we help this guy? Can we tweak this? You know, my coaching staff is, you know, Kyle Moore Brown. He's a D lineman that played at Kansas.
Okay.
Got picked up by the Detroit Lions. He actually is the reason he started at center. That's the reason they traded Jeff Saturday to Indianapolis Colts.
Okay.
He played 3 years in Detroit, got hurt, was as a Hall of Famer in the Arena League.
Okay.
Coach Arpedge Roll played at Florida. He's actually a local guy here in Vegas. He owns Five Star Lineman Academy, trains O-line, D-line, NFL guys in the offseason. You know, Stephen Whitehead, he's actually, I think, the third all-time leading receiver in the IFL. He's one of the main reasons Alshon Jeffrey got back into the game and signed his big deal with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, the Eagles, got it. Okay.
Or the Bears first, then the Eagles. Yeah. So, like, just as far as efficiency, you know, Coach Pimmel, as far as our OC stuff, old school mind, just very innovative and things like that. And then a DB guy that I have is Adrian Davis, actually went to Arkansas as a safety, made his way up and played D-end. I mean, the kid went to the Patriots and the Niners out of college, and just a great asset to be around. He's coaching college right now. He's getting out of the college game. He played for me in Nebraska and wants to come back and coach with me. So as far as my staff goes, like, I trust them. At the end of the day, I can slam the gavel and make a final decision.
Gotcha,
but offense, I'll let the offense do their thing. I focus on the defense and the whole team and see how it shakes out.
No, Goose Thomas chimes in on Facebook real quick. He says, shout out to OG Hunky Cooper, another Arena Hall of Famer. He says, Debo Samuel's that dude. He really didn't get the looks because the South Carolina University wasn't that good, no. But I was sold on him after the second time I saw him. What were you going to say?
I was going to ask, is your sole responsibility play calling? Like, in terms of that, or do you delegate to your offensive coordinator?
Currently, I will delegate the offense to the offense, and I will call the defense.
Okay.
But that could change. Just depends on what my coach is. Like, if Coach Pimmel wants to go up in the box, then I would stay on the field for both and call offense and defense. They just relay it in there.
Gotcha.
Because I trust my coaches to make the adjustments on the sideline. It's just, gotcha. Yeah, we haven't put our stamp on that one yet. But
so we could close out this conversation. Safe to say you guys are pretty much ready to roll?
We will be. Yet, but we will be.
You're on the tip. You're almost there.
We're climbing the mountain.
Climbing the mountain. All right, cool. So how has your stay been since you've been in Vegas, my man?
Let's talk
about that real quick.
Weather's great.
Are you enjoying it?
Great. Weather's great.
Yeah.
I got friends here like every other weekend. It's like, let me just get some time to relax.
How was your Thanksgiving, by the way?
It was good. You know, I trained a bunch of kids in Canada before I moved down here, and they actually came down and played in a 13, 14, 15 youth tournament.
Nice.
13 and 14 and 15 took the gold, and 13 took the silver. I mean, good kid. It was great to see them. And then I had some buddy and a couple buddies in town that were in town for Thanksgiving. So I said hello to them and just worked.
I got blown off for those kids, by the way, because I invited Coach over to the house. Oh, I got kids over, man. You know,
he's
they're
still
out
salty
here.
About that.
It's all right.
It's all good, man. We'll make it up. But you're enjoying your time here, though.
Absolutely.
You're already finding spots. You like to hang out, watch the games, enjoy some food, things like that.
I'm a homebody.
Okay.
Really, like, for me, put the game on a split screen and put a third game on the computer or the iPad and sit back and watch the games and recruit. And, you know, you see a guy in a second string guy, you're like, hey, let me write his name down.
You're always recruiting. You're always watching. Even when you're at home, just watching the game.
Always.
Gotcha.
I'm never not recruiting.
Now, how's your film study habits? Do you just have a collection of tapes that you go through, or do you only do certain ones?
No, so for me, I try to break it up into position groups.
Okay.
Every day. So I like, you know, today was receivers. Hey, we're pretty good at receivers, but there's a couple more that let me make sure that I didn't miss somebody and things like that. So for me, I have a database about, I think, 6,800 kids with film links. So just, and you know, it's an Excel file, so I can prioritize them and sort them and filter them and all that. And so it's just, it's, that's part of the game that I love. You know, can, do you miss somebody? Can you see the good in somebody, or the benefits of signing somebody that somebody else said, oh, you're not good enough.
There we go, Vegas Nighthawk fans. If you're ready for the season, it's right around the corner. We said March, right?
Mm-hmm. March 18th.
There we go.
First game.
March 18th, first game. Go ahead and check them out. Indoor Football League. Trust me, if you watched Arena Football League, you'll like it. It's fast-paced. It's fun. It's football, and it's indoors. You don't have to worry about the heat or any of that, which is cool. It's a good, fun family atmosphere. I'll be honest with you. I used to go to a lot of arena football games when they were in the Staples Center back in the day. Even when I came out here, when they had the, was it Las Vegas Outlaws?
The Outlaws,
a little while. So it's a fun environment. It's cool. It's football, man. We have more sports out here, so go enjoy it. And not only that, they're going to be playing at the brand new Dollar Loan Center, so that's pretty sweet. It's not like you guys are going to be playing at just some regular park or anything like that, right? So that's good. You're not playing at Cashman Field that's been there for 100 some plus years or whatever.
The Henderson Pavilion, right?
Well, it used to be the Henderson Pavilion.
So I
went there when they did the whole press conference and everything, and it looks like it's gonna be a nice spot, man. It's in a good little
beautiful
area.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So you've seen it a lot more now. I take it definitely. Yeah,
seen the outside, but it looks pretty.
Yeah, nice. Like they have the seats in now. The walls are up because, you know, just to make sure that the floor and the ice system works, and locker rooms are almost done.
Okay.
I mean, it's...
Are you guys sharing the locker rooms, or you guys have your own?
No, we have our own. So
really nice.
So, you know, you have the Golden Knights that they home out of National City, and they play at T-Mobile.
The Silver Knights, of course.
The Golden Knights at
City National, yes. But
then you have the Silver Knights who home out of Lifeguard in Henderson, in downtown Henderson, and they'll play in the Dollar Loan Center.
Gotcha.
Well, our home will be the Dollar Loan Center, and then we'll also play out the Dollar Loan Center. So everybody has their own spot. We'll share. Cool. There's a common home locker room.
Okay.
That we'll share during for games. We have our own locker rooms and our own home base inside the arena.
Okay.
Nice. Another special locker room for us and things like that. So yeah, it'll be great.
What about practice facilities? I've been meaning to ask you about that. Like, where are you guys going to be practicing now? Did they set something up for you guys, or are you just at a park or something? Like,
yeah. So we'll split time. When the turf is down, we'll be in the arena.
Okay.
Or when hockey's not. You know, not here and not at home. When the turf is up, we'll go to Heritage Park.
Okay.
And like I said, we practice in the morning, so it's good, especially when it's, you know, July and it's 110 outside. It's the battle of attrition, and
get
some guys mentally tough, and it's just nice to be able to go outside, and we have some walls that we can blow up walls and make it just like an arena.
All right, man, enough about the Nighthawks, enough about that, enough about the local stuff. We appreciate that. We appreciate the Golden Knights for allowing you to be in here. I did hit up Garrett Calloway just to make sure that we had no issues. You know what I mean? You got to have those relationships to keep them
absolutely
right.
Absolutely.
So, Garrett, we appreciate you and the Golden Knights for allowing Coach to be here with us tonight. But let's just talk now. Let's chop it up and talk some sports. A lot going on in college football. I want to get your thoughts on this. The two big moves that happened, obviously, with Lincoln Riley dipping and leaving Oklahoma. Some people saying he's afraid that they're going to the SEC. He doesn't want to have to deal with Saban. I just think that the opportunity of going to SC and the challenge that's there and him knowing the tradition, and I think he can recruit. I think he'll be fine. And when it comes to him going to SC, you know I'm an SC guy. Not only do I think he's going to help SC get back on the map, I think he's going to help the Pac-12 become a little more relevant, if that makes sense. Once he gets USC back to where they should be, because they're going to be back to relevance. I like Lincoln Riley. I like the move. USC finally went outside of that pocket and trying to hire guys that were from the Pete Carroll tree or like Pete Carroll. You know what I mean? Sometimes you got to get away from that. Like Clay Helton was not the answer. You know what I mean? Honestly, we saw what Coach O did over at LSU, and then he gets canned, a year and a half later, whatever it is. But at the time when he was at SC, he should have got that coaching job, at least in my opinion. The kids loved him. He turned that program around midseason when he was there, and he was a great coach, and he could recruit as well. That was the biggest thing. Didn't happen. We saw what happened. Now we have a guy in Lincoln Riley. Granted, hasn't won anything yet, but he's been great since he's been at Oklahoma, right? That's one situation. The second situation, Brian Kelly dipping with a text message in the middle of the night to his team talking about, we can talk tomorrow morning. If I'm a player, I don't want to talk to you tomorrow morning. That text message is good enough, and that's all I need. But Brian Kelly's situation is a lot different. All-time winningest coach at Notre Dame. Yeah. Been there 12-plus years and solidified his name after what he did at Central Michigan, I think it was, and then going to Cincinnati. And when he was at Cincinnati and he left to go to Notre Dame, a lot of people said, this isn't the guy that Notre Dame needs, and he basically proved everyone wrong. lost the championship game, but he's been in the playoff numerous times. So we know what he could do. I disagree with a few people on Spaces the other day when they said that Chip Kelly's the only coach in history that doesn't need a quarterback to succeed. I disagree, because if he had a five-star quarterback or something like that, he might have possibly won a championship by now, but who knows? He took off. He goes to LSU, SEC. We already know what the coaches that have been there, the last two three coaches that have been there, have won a national championship. So in my eyes, if I'm Brian Kelly and I'm thinking what he's thinking, I think he saw the situation with, if a guy like Ed Orgeron was able to win at LSU and he's no longer there, and I did what I did at Notre Dame for 12 years, how can I go into LSU and the SEC and recruit and win? I should be able to finally get that chip.
See, I don't think you're there, though. I think it's going to the complete opposite with Brian Kelly.
Okay.
I think he said, hey, listen, I've done everything I can do in Notre Dame.
Yeah.
We're an independent. We're never going to get the schedule to be in the top four or the top eight, whatever they go to. The top eight, they would end up making.
Yeah.
And then they could play their way into it. But for him, you've reached the pinnacle at Notre Dame.
You've reached your ceiling. You have to branch out. I like the move. I think that you have to take risks at that point in your career. I think it's actually kind of similar to when he was at Cincinnati and coming here, or coming to Notre Dame, is because he did everything he could do there. He went to Notre Dame. He did everything he can do there. Now he's going to a place, like you said, the schedule's going to be better, in a sense of he's going to go up against better competition. He's going to also have the recruiting difference, I think, of Notre Dame versus LSU, because people already like the LSU name, the resources they have. They have a much better facility. I think that he wants to try to win that championship, and I also think that he wants the challenge of the competition that he's going to face at LSU versus Notre Dame.
Who's in a better situation? Who do you think's in a better situation? Lincoln. Who succeeds first?
Lincoln.
All day.
100%.
Yeah. Okay.
Two reasons. A, people forget, Brian Kelly's just the head coach. He doesn't call the plays on either side of the ball. So his next two hires are what's going to make or break LSU.
True.
You know you have the athletes and things like that. Lincoln Riley calls the plays.
Yeah.
So he knows that his success is solely on his shoulders. Now he's got to put a great staff around him, and he'll do that. And I think OU and Alex Grinch struggled because they never got the athletes on defense. Put him with those athletes, watch out.
Not only that, Riley has this big name factor that people are already following him.
Yeah.
Decommitting from Oklahoma.
Malachi Nelson dipped and then followed him to USC.
And I think that's not a rare occurrence. I think that you're going to start seeing that as we get closer to the calendar year, that the next calendar year, is that you're going to see a lot of these five-star recruits that say, I want to play with Riley because he's going to get the most out of me, because he has that reputation of getting the most out of these players. So I think that Riley already has that recruitment factor, like you said, that's a big part of being the coach, whereas Kelly's going to have to work on that a little bit. But I think they're both good at recruiting, and I think they're both going to have that going for them. But I definitely think that Riley is in a better situation because it's already established. Like you said, they have had a winning culture before, and I think that he's going to bring that back to USC.
Well, what's USC always had? They've always had a good D-line.
Yep.
They've always had great DBs, and they've always had an electric playmakers on offense.
Yep.
And with a guy by the name of Jackson Dart, how can you not be successful at quarterback?
Jackson Dart.
I mean, that's one of the, that'll go down in the history as a classic quarterback name, especially if he's as good as they say he's going to be.
So college football top four, college football playoff is there. So many different scenarios. Big shout out to Kent Thompson, SportsX Radio. K Don, I was on his show last night, and we talked about this as well. There's so many different scenarios that can happen here. If we want to talk about it, Georgia losing to Alabama, there's one, right? Michigan losing to
Iowa. Not happening.
I'm just saying. If we're throwing stuff out there, right? Oklahoma State murdering Baylor. Oklahoma State's right there. Notre Dame doesn't play anybody. They're done now, right? Yeah. They're just sitting there idle, hoping that they get some type of madness to happen.
They'd have to have two losses, and you're not going to get that.
Cincinnati. losing to Houston. I'm just not happening. I understand there. I'm not saying that these things are going to happen. I'm not saying that I believe they're going to happen. But if we're going to talk about Bedlam and crazy stuff and things that can happen, these are the possible scenarios. Last week, ESPN on the radio, and I'm going to say it out there. They need to stop doing this. They were trying to bait people on the radio saying, oh, all the money's on Michigan. A credible book in Las Vegas doesn't want to move off of 7. No, 78% of the money was on Ohio State. Everyone knew and thought Ohio State was going to win that game, but Michigan fans.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. There's so much craziness that can still happen, Mike, if we're being honest.
I think Georgia by far is the best football team in college football, hands down.
Defensively, I'll give you that.
Overall, top to bottom.
Okay.
What I will say is, I said this earlier, Nick Saban's never lost to a disciple.
Okay.
Never. Never.
Ever.
Ever.
Not a championship game, ever. Not a regular game. Ever. Ever.
So if you think in your right mind that he will not have those kids ready to play, especially as bad as they played against Auburn, that was the wake-up call they needed, especially after the interview Nick Saban did last week saying, everybody expects us to win. I was like, everybody expects us to win by 20-plus points, and it's not good enough. And these kids, you can't put it on these kids. You know what? You go to Alabama to be 5 stars, to get drafted in the NFL, and punish people.
Yeah.
Period. I'm not saying they'll beat Georgia, but I wouldn't. I don't know.
I like them to at least cover. I think Alabama wins this game, but I think they at least cover.
So let me ask you this, okay? Let's say Alabama does win. Guaranteed them and Georgia stay in the top two. On the top four, there's no way Georgia falls out of the top.
I agree.
No way. So we'll still have Georgia. We'll still have Alabama, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say Cincinnati barely gets by Houston, beats them by a field goal last minute, right? And Oklahoma State just annihilates Baylor in that Big 12. I'm just saying, the way the committee has been looking at, but I'm talking about the way the committee is. The committee
still stays in it, though.
Really?
You think the way that they've been blackballing Cincinnati all year?
They had to fight just to get into those rankings. So.
That's what I'm saying. You don't think that the committee would think about it and possibly float it out there and go?
No, because Baylor's probably going to play with their backup quarterback again this week. So that's their excuse.
Style points. Yeah.
There's always something that lingers. Like, you know, one of the committees was talking about, you know, they take in consideration, all the coach left, you know, which players are opting out of the bowl game to get ready for the draft. Like, all that goes into consideration. Where Luke Fickell breeds, you think Desmond Ritter's opting out of the college playoff?
No.
No chance. You know, where you might get some other guys that do opt out. And I just think at that point, it's time for them to give a team a shot. Now, they probably get beat by 40 by Georgia if it's 1-4. But I would still like to see how they try to play them, especially with Ritter being the X factor and being able to run and some of the weapons that they have. I mean, it might be a 70-72 game, but it would be fun to watch, I think.
Neil chimes in on Facebook. He says, Cincinnati stays in if they win, no matter the score. Here's the thing. I want to see Cincinnati in. I do. Yeah. I think that if they go undefeated, you can't take that away from them, because all I've heard throughout the years when Alabama was always in it or the SEC was so tough, you got to be a power five. They're a power five. Whether you like it or not, whether they're the top power five or the bottom tier power five, they are considered a power five conference. This is a piece of what used to be the Big East. Remember that. Think about that right now. This is technically a Power 5 conference. So you're going to tell me that the committee is going to look at a Power 5 conference team that's undefeated and go, we still don't know they should be in the top four, which is what they've been doing all year. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm saying I would not be surprised if we ran into that type of scenario where Oklahoma State annihilates Baylor and Cincinnati barely gets through them and they go, this one looks a little bit better. We're going to bump Oklahoma State up. Let's be real. I'm just saying, because the way the committee is, I don't think it's going to happen.
The best part about that is Houston's been winning games decisively. And
that helps Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Ranked 24th in the nation. It could be low, but it's a ranking regardless.
It's a ranking, period.
And they got a winning record, and they're going into a championship game. So it's going to be fun, man. I can't wait for the next couple days, this weekend, and everything that's going
to
happen.
It's going to be
exciting. One of the best games to watch is Friday night.
What game is Friday night?
UTSA and Western Kentucky. Bailey Zapp.
Why is that?
So Bailey Zapp started at Houston Baptist.
Okay.
He's a small school kid. transferred to Western Kentucky. He's the kid that threw for, I don't even know, I should have looked it up for a second. But he threw for obscene amount of yards at Houston Baptist, just annihilating people. And then he transfers to Western Kentucky, and he's putting up the same video game numbers.
Okay.
And I'm willing, like, I bet he throws for 450 on Friday night. Okay. I mean, the kid just.
Coach throwing out predictions now,
just,
huh?
Yeah, just zinging it.
Hop on your app, look for some prop bets.
What was the name again?
Bailey Zapp.
Bailey Zapp. Bailey Zapp.
Z-A-P. That's the kid's name?
Yeah, Bailey Zapp.
Bailey Zapp.
You got to love it.
I mean, that's interesting. That's a great name. Definitely a NFL name right there.
And then check this out, just before we get off of the college football conversation. 2024, okay? College football kickoff in Las Vegas.
LSU,
it will be, no, it will be Lincoln Riley's USC Trojans versus Brian Kelly, LSU Tigers.
Oh, that's great.
I cannot wait.
Because
think about it, 2 years by then, or a year and a half, two years by then.
Exactly.
They'll have their recruits and everything by then, right? I mean, year two.
USC wins the Pac-12 next year.
Ooh.
Okay.
Undefeated?
That's
one loss.
They will win the Pac-12 next year.
Okay.
Prediction time. Remember, we got to cut this and put it up later. Prediction time. They will win the Pac-12 next year.
Don't be surprised.
Not surprised. You sound certain. You sound.
Look what he's done with all the guys. Like, he has the cupboard's not bare. I'm telling you, they're going to be out for blood.
What kids are going to come on from USC? Sure. Do you think we're going to enter the draft that are not going to enter the draft now that Lincoln Riley's there? Because that has to be considered.
I bet you none of them.
Really?
I bet you they all come back at least for one season.
Oh, okay.
All the players that are SC.
Okay. So you don't think Drake London declares?
I don't follow USC football.
Okay.
That serious. But no, I don't. He's the receiver, right?
Yeah. 6'5".
Yeah, no way.
220.
Unless he's a guaranteed first round pick.
He is. He broke his ankle, but he's still
and that's exactly why he'll come back.
Okay. He's pretty consensus, like the third wide receiver in this class, though.
So I want to throw something out there. I got Reggie Jackson plus 680 on the money line to score under 12.5 points. He had 12 points at halftime. There's a minute left in this game. He's only got 12 points. Just throwing it out there. I'm hanging on there by a hook right now. I'm hanging on by a hook. Sorry, I was listening to you guys' conversation, but I had to check that score because I was checking my tickets. Golden Knights are not winning. I had the Ducks, but I also have Pittsburgh. I should have went with Edmonton.
That's because he's trying to rebound from that Steph Curry over 31 last night. I saw that on Twitter.
Yeah, I saw that too.
So since we're talking about betting, Coach, I know you like to look at lines when you're watching these games because even as a head coach, it's known. It's all over the place
for
your team is favorite, if the teams are underdogs, whatever it may be, right? One thing you like to text me all the time is PTHDs. For people that do not know what PTHD is, it's not HDHD, it's not any of that stuff. It's prime time home dogs. And I wanted to have that conversation with you on the air because, we text back and forth on it all the time. It's hit at an enormous rate. It just hit on Monday night with the Washington Redskins, went in their third game as a dog, by the way, against credible opponents.
Yep. Right at home.
Prior to that, it was the Baltimore Ravens losing to Miami, right? We talked about that one as well.
Yeah.
The Las Vegas Raiders against the Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving. It's hitting at an enormous rate. You're the one that brought it up to my attention when we first brought you on the show and we talked about it with college. We're talking about some college games that you were telling me about that you looked at. This is insane right now at the number that, I mean, you've been watching it.
Another one's going to hit Thursday night with the Saints.
I like the Saints tomorrow.
Taysom Hill starting at a quarterback.
Yeah. Yep. Taysom Hill starting.
Four and a half.
Alvin Kamara might play. And you have Ingram. Three style of RPO all day in the backfield.
Not
tomorrow.
To mention Sean Payton just got he just got embarrassed 2 weeks in a row. It's not going to happen a third time.
What are they? They're on the outside looking in for the playoff.
Yep.
Right now.
Yeah, they're on the outside looking in the wild card. They're still in the hunt. They have to win a couple here because they've lost a couple of the tiebreakers
so
here.
And six.
Yeah, they're 5-6. They've lost a couple of the tiebreakers in the conference, but.
But talk about what you've been looking at and how and obviously you're not going to look at every primetime home dog, right? There's only some that you're going to look at, but how are you, how did this come to your attention? So, is my question.
It's funny because a long time ago, I was joking with some buddies and we were talking about, you know, we were just talking about just basic football. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, the best situation to be in is to be an underdog at home. And they're like, why? I go, because you don't have to travel. all the you have the crowd, the cards are stacked up against you, and most coaches, the majority of coaches, it seems like everybody says this is the formula. You got to win all your home games and half your road games. So when you're an underdog at home, you're doing everything you can to look good in front of the fans, to get the W, and you're trying to win every game. I get it. But you go the extra mile because normally you get an extra practice day because you don't have to travel.
Okay.
So it gives you an extra day to game plan and maybe find that one twerk, you know, one quirk that you can find to score big plays. And it I don't know, it's just a theory of mine, and it just happens to be.
It happens to be working.
It just happens to be enormous, accurate.
At an enormous rate this year. I don't know.
That's crazy, man. So if you are a better out there, obviously the name of the show, Straight Bet Sports, we got to throw that out there. Primetime home dogs are hitting at an enormous rate. I talked about it on Spaces this morning. I told everyone on Monday night, take Washington, even though it's a low number. I'm not going with statistics. I'm not going on who's playing who's playing how, who's hurt, who's in and out.
Strictly PTH.
That's it. That's literally. And I text you? I texted him. I'm like, Mike, I'm big on Washington tonight. I like Washington.
What'd I tell you? I'm not touching nothing.
Nothing at all. But it was a great game. It went, I mean, obviously sloppy, but great because of the way that it ended, came down to the wire. Yeah. I still think that was a touchdown by Logan Thomas. Did you see that play?
I agree. This is the thing. When is Taylor Heinicke going to get his respect? The poor kid.
People still don't like him. They say he's not.
No, he's.
I don't care if you like him or not. Yeah. He's a winner and he's tough as nails. And those kid men play their butts off for him. Yeah. Right now,
he's playing. He's the second best playing quarterback in that division. It's crazy. I mean, I'm an Eagles fan. Everyone knows, and he's playing better than Jalen right now. He's playing better than Daniel Jones.
And he lays
by far
it on the line every
week.
Day.
Every week.
Like that's you got to love that about your quarterback.
Absolutely.
That's all you ask from, man. That's all you can ask. But we got to get into some NFL talk now. We got about 10 minutes left on the show. 10, 11 minutes, give or take.
Let's do it.
So I feel bad, bro, because I think I'm on a 3-game winning streak now, if I'm correct. Or is it two?
Two.
Okay. And you're on a 2-game losing streak?
Uh-oh.
I am.
That's right, because you took your Eagles, and then you took Minnesota.
No, when I took my Eagles, we won.
Oh, okay.
The last time I was on,
I didn't take it last.
He was, you were smoking him.
He was 4-0 when you came on the show at that time.
Hey, I'm still like 8-3.
Relax, buddy. Relax.
I'm still like 8-3. That's playoffs right there. So,
man,
yeah.
I am lose tied five with all the teams for like the best record. In the division, man.
What's he on, a 2-game skid?
He's on a 2-game losing streak.
You could go
right
on a 5-game skid and end up 500 at 8-8.
That's not going to happen.
I'm just saying.
That's not going
to
happen.
He's trying to give you hope, bro. Hope for a 500 season, because you're not going to get anything better than that.
I mean, if he's talking about my Eagles, maybe he's correct there, but not with my predictions.
All right, but let's talk NFL for real. I do want to talk about tomorrow night's game with both of you. Obviously, we just mentioned it. Taysom Hill starting. We got Alvin Kamara possibly coming back as well. Mark Ingram is back with them. We know what he can and can't do. He's a good little solid piece there for them. I like them on the defensive side of the ball. I don't think New Orleans gets a lot of credit. They should be getting a lot more. I like Lattimore. I think their best defensive player overall. I like Sean Payton in this situation. Now, a lot of people are saying the fact that Mike McCarthy is out with COVID doesn't really matter because he's a nobody. He's still your head coach at the end of the day. You see, he's somebody there. Plus, you got guys coming back from injuries. We don't know how they're going to come back. But at the end of the day, I'm not looking at that. I know, Mike. Don't give me those looks, Mike. I'm looking at PTHD.
I get it. No, what did I tell you when you were 4-0? Week 4, I said, who's fake?
Dallas. Yeah. Dallas. Yeah. And I've ridden with you since that week.
And they had the one great week, and they've had a bunch of subpar weeks.
Yeah. I remember when they played Kansas City. That was my pick. I like Kansas City. I'm like, Dallas won't do it. Last week, it wasn't my pick. But I like the Raiders, and I bet on them. You know what I mean? Just they're
and we both
mirrors.
Agreed that we thought that Cardinals were the real deal. And I remember you telling me that the Packers' defense was better than I thought it was, and you were absolutely right. It is.
Anytime you can put a defense with an offensive mind and a quarterback that's a gunslinger, you're taking chances left and right.
Speaking of gunslingers and offensive minds, I just found out by watching Pat McAfee that Devontae Adams sometimes goes ad-lib and just runs his own routes.
And Aaron Rodgers knows exactly what he's running.
Exactly. What? Yeah, Aaron Rodgers said on his show, he said that sometimes certain looks, certain situations, he'll just run his own route. And he'll ask him after, why do you run that route? Oh, I like the matchup.
or he reads the safety and knows what defense they're in.
Exactly.
So what do you think tomorrow? PTHD again? We riding with it?
Absolutely.
So you like the Saints tomorrow?
I do.
Outright? Or we're just covering?
I'll just stick with the PTHD. What do you think?
I think they cover. You think they cover? Yeah, I think Saints cover.
I think the Saints win tomorrow. I do, honestly. Obviously not my pick of the week or anything like that, but I like the Saints.
I definitely think Cowboys are on upset alert here. I think it's possible.
People thought the Rams couldn't win, and the Rams couldn't lose, and they went 0-for last month. So remember that.
Yeah.
Anything is, since Aaron Donald or
Von Miller and Woods went down and everything. Yeah. Wow. But that's the thing, man. You look at Sean McVay. I like Sean McVay as a coach. I really do. But I'm not sold on him as a winner overall because he's been a guy that's had named players on his roster for years, right? Especially now. Look at the roster you have. Yeah. Name-wise, on paper, they're the scariest team before you even play them, just looking at them.
They need someone like Robert Woods, though, to help that run game.
Yeah.
Because he brings a different dynamic with his motions.
And Robert Woods plays at home. Think about it, he's actually a pretty good blocker.
Yep. You know, so.
I know people don't look into all that a lot, but I think for kids that get the opportunity to play pro ball where they played college ball, yeah. I mean, I don't know, he's an LA kid too.
I think that's what I'm saying. He's an LA kid.
Like, that's huge.
It's home. It's comfortable for him. Mm-hmm. So.
You feel like you're playing in your own backyard at that point.
You are.
What other game should we talk about? Let's see here. Let's talk about. There's no St. Louis team, so we can't talk about the Rams anymore because the Rams are in LA. Just giving Evan a hard time. Let's talk about
Broncos Chiefs.
Broncos Chiefs? Okay.
I feel like that's going to be a very interesting game.
I think that's going to be an annihilation. I think the Chiefs are going to run away with that game, if I'm being honest with you. I said it last night. The Chiefs are getting hot at the right time. I think they're getting it together. I think Patrick Mahomes is slowly figuring out, I don't have to do too much. I don't have to be too crazy. And Denver's not legit. I don't think they're real. I said it in the beginning of the part of the season. They went 3-0 against teams that had a combined score of 0-9. They looked great and haven't looked great since.
There's certain parts of that Broncos defense that are absolutely legit. For instance, Patrick Surtain is outstanding. I think he should win.
Isn't it Patrick Surtain? Because that's what his dad used to tell reporters back
in
the day.
Is it Surtain?
It's Surtain.
Is it Surtain? Okay. I've been calling him wrong for a while then because I always thought it was Surtain. I always assimilated with Contain. So I always called him Surtain, but I guess Surtain. He is outstanding. I think if he keeps on playing the way that he has been playing and stays healthy, I actually think that it's not a shoo-in for Micah Parsons as defensive rookie of the year. I think that Surtain is going to actually give him a run for his money there because he is playing outstanding.
Mike, what do you think about that game before we get into some picks of the week?
I think Kansas City's hot. I think that I just don't.
If you're looking at that number though and how they're playing, do you think they could win by that much?
It's
9.5.
I think, you know, Teddy's got the Broncos playing tough, man. It's always tough. I think it's close.
Yeah, I think it's a lot closer than that. I think Broncos have a real chance of covering here.
So we're coming to the end of the show now. We got to get into our picks of the week. But before we do so, we're going to let you guys know who our second sponsor of the show is. Obviously, we do have two sponsors here. Both of them decided to move on with us forward here on Season 4, Straight Bet Sports on Gorilla Cross Radio Network. Our second sponsor, of course, is none other than our personal barber, Eric Navarro of Line 'Em Up by Eric. Hit him up at 702-884-8138 or on IG at Line 'Em Up by Eric, as you see there on the screen. He takes appointments only, walk-ins at times if he's not busy. But trust me, guys, an appointment is definitely necessary. You will not be disappointed. I get my haircut from him all the time. My kids do as well. Hit him up, 702-884-8138. Line 'Em Up by Eric. Eric Navarro, we greatly appreciate you and your sponsorship here on Straight Bet Sports on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network. All right, fellas. Again, I'm 2-0 in the last 2 weeks. I'm starting to get hot here towards the end, which doesn't really matter because I'm still probably not going to end up with a 500 record with the way that I'm going. I got to go back through every single show for next week so we can be up to date to let you guys know what the accurate numbers are. But
I don't remember who I picked the first time.
Well, we'll look that up because we're going to have you back on the show.
But I think it was Packers. I think you rolled.
He's like, I think you
were rolling with the Packers, though, I believe.
All right, Mike. So I'm going to let you go first. I'm going to be respectful. You're the guest of the night.
Bengals.
Roll. Bengals.
Roll.
Bengals minus three against the Chargers at home. 74% of the money is Joey on the B. Bengals currently. Okay. Joey B. Mark it down. Minus three Bengals for Mike. What you got?
All right. I like the Patriots here. I think Patriots plus 2.5 against the Bills is easy.
I'm looking at three, so I'll give you three.
Okay. I think Bill is going to he's finally getting that offense to actually mesh with Mac Jones. That defense is playing out of this world. The Bills have been showing a lot of their holes lately, so I definitely think that the Patriots come in here and smack them in the mouth.
Easiest game on the board for me, at least I think. I just can't see a team like Washington winning four games in a row as a dog, especially having to come all the way across the country to play the Raiders. The Raiders are on a longer rest. Their last game was on Thursday. They didn't have to play over the weekend. They're a lot more calm. They're a lot more relaxed. They have their coaching staff.
Is Darren Waller playing?
Darren Waller's still up in the air, but I still think that Foster Moreau will be okay, which is their backup tight end there. So we'll see. Minus 2.5 is what I'm looking at right now on this game currently here on a Wednesday. 80% of the money on the Raiders. If you know me, normally I go with the money. I mean, against the money. I'm sorry. I go with what the books need to help the books. In this situation, I think the books are going to get annihilated. I like the Raiders in this game. I think the Raiders come out and continue to stay hot as they played the way they played against Dallas. Give me the Raiders at minus 2.5. Hopefully we can hit three in a row here for the last 3 weeks. But before we let everybody know, Ian, let everybody know where they can find you on all things social media.
All right. So it's IanB_sports on Twitter, also Instagram. I need to get into the TikTok. Haven't yet, but you can find me at that handle as well.
You need to change him up to get him to underscore Bradford.
Underscore Bradford. Bradfordsports.com.
Sports Bradford.
But Mike, my man, we appreciate you coming in the studio and just chopping it up with us again. Let us and everybody know where they can find you out there.
I'm Twitter is NighthawksHC.
Anything else? No Instagram, no Facebook? You don't write on those side of town?
I do. It's Coach Mike Davis on both of them.
Okay.
It's easy.
There we go. And they can follow you for all things Nighthawks as well. You'll be posting stuff throughout the season.
Yep, absolutely.
There we go. We're trying to get him big on Twitter, man. He doesn't know too many people out here. So let's get that Twitter handle going. Let's get that Twitter handle, you know, skyrocketing on the followers. But if he gets a little past mine, slow down. Come follow me first, and then we'll get back over there so he doesn't pass me. But it's all good, Mike.
Can't wait for losing out here. Yeah.
But no, man, greatly appreciate each and every one of you, especially Evan Guerra, good friend of mine, behind us hanging out here, taking some pictures and videos. We greatly appreciate him. Make sure you follow him, Drumline AV, on all things social media, especially on YouTube. He's going to be working with us moving forward. We're going to be collabing, doing some things here. A lot of great content coming soon, so I'm really excited about that. Quan59, greatly appreciate you doing what you do for us every single Wednesday night here on Gorilla Cross Radio, episode 86, season 4 underway. We are so excited. We're going to hit 2 years here on the network. Cannot believe it, but I'm grateful, thankful, and blessed to be here. And the wheels keep moving, man, until they fall off, and hopefully they never do. But we're at the end of the show, and I only have one final thought for tonight, man. If you guys have been following sports media out here in Las Vegas and the radio waves for many, many years, then you guys know who Frank Harnish is. Frank Harnish, a.k.a. Ballpark Frank, did pass away from cancer. He's been fighting cancer for a while now. I got to work with Frank on one show when I used to intern on Out of Line on Fox Sports Radio years ago when he was doing the VGK Insider Show. If you guys follow the Golden Knights from their inception on Fox Sports Radio, he was the guy to listen to pregame, postgame, and just during the week when it came to anything Golden Knights. If you knew Frank or you ever walked next to him or you ever had the opportunity to shake his hand or talk to him, you knew he was genuine, he was real, and he was never fake. What you got is what you got from Frank no matter what, accept it or not. He was never disrespectful, never rude. He was just himself. Frank, Ballpark, you'll definitely be missed. Definitely going to miss hearing you on the radio waves. Huge Blackhawks fans that became a Golden Knights fan and did so much for the community out here. Frank, you will be missed. RIP, my man. From everybody here at Straight Bet Sports, Gorilla Cross, everybody, we greatly love and miss you. Rest in peace to him, family, his friends, thoughts and prayers. That's pretty much all I got tonight. Till next week, Jose V, Ian B, Quan 59, Straight Bet Sports, Gorilla Cross, we are out. Peace.